Cabinet of the Head of Spiritual Exercises. It all having a closing meditation on the love of God. Our meditation, therefore, will be on growth or going in the love of God. During these days, we've spoken more than once about the virtue of charity. We believe it is the virtue or the power we receive when we're baptized, which enables us to love God above all things, especially above the one thing that we naturally, spontaneously, constantly, patiently love ourselves, above all things, including that one, shall I say, thing, who has our name. And to love others out of love for God. The virtue of charity, therefore, means primarily loving God with our whole heart, with our whole soul, with all our strength, and with a resounding emphasis, with our whole mind. The will commanded the intellect to submit to the mind of God. Secondly, or secondarily, the virtue of charity means loving our neighbor out of love for God. Our scope for this closing meditation will be, you guessed it, on the what, the why, and the how. What is growth? What is growth in the love of God? Why must we grow in the love of God? And then, down to ourselves, how? Growing in the love of God means that with His grace, we love Him more and more every day. Our religious vows mean, mainly, loving God more than we would have been obliged to do had we not, with His grace, entered a consecrated life. But that more is to be a constantly growing, developing, progressing experience. What does growth in the love of God mean? It means that our love for God becomes more steady, more constant, less sporadic, less periodic. What does it mean to grow in the love of God? It means that our love becomes more selfless. Loving God to please Him and not what the world tells us, to please ourselves. What does it mean to grow in the love of God? It means that we love God, hear it, more voluntarily, more volitionally, and, need I say it, less emotionally. Oh, the pious prayers by now we know. The beautiful. Oh, how deeply I must be loving God. Oh, how I feel my love for God. We love God with our will, and I have to say it, and our love grows as our love becomes more naked, love with our wills. How do we grow? Pardon me, what is growth in the love of God? We grow in our love for God when our love is shown in deeds. Ignatius has two basic principles when he calls the contemplation for growing in the love of God. The first principle is that love is shown by sharing. The one who loves gives to the one whom he or she claims to love. It means giving to God. It means giving in to God. It's not a clever phrase. It means giving up for God. And God, as we know, He'll put so many lovable creatures into our lives. I have to keep repeating, lest anyone, beginning with myself, forget it. They're the most lovable creature that we know. Giving up. Growth in the love of God means weaning ourselves from the love of ourselves. Talk about being nursing babies. We are still asking ourselves, what is growth in the love of God? Our love is a self-giving love, surrendering our hearts. Oh, what things we can give to God if the first principle of Ignatian growth in the love of God is that it is the exchange of what one who loves another gives to the one whom he or she claims to love and receives in return. But the second premise is that love is shown in deeds. I like to separate the adverb indeed. In, then a break on the word, deed. That's when we love indeed. When we love indeed. Our love, as we're growing in the love of God, becomes more sacrificial in giving up what we like and becomes more enduring in what we do not like. And this is the divine wisdom in enabling us to grow in the love of God. God will take away from us what we like. There's something wrong. Silly. No. No. And leave it to God. He knows what we like. Leave it to Him. That's His formula. He will take it away. And we go in the love of God as He provides us with opportunities for enduring. We go back to where we began, remember? All part of God's plan. God puts cold weather into our lives. I may be talking of the wrong part of the country. Does it ever get humid or sultry? Let me try again. Does it ever get hot? Very hot. That's why God sends, as we mistakenly say, inclement weather. There's no such thing as inclement weather. It's all part of God's all-wise providence. That's why God puts, cold characters into our lives. I would not identify the Jesuit residence where I lived for years, in which one of my brethren never once spoke to me. Never. I greet him. No response. Talk to him. No response. Sit at a table next to him. He talked to the others. Talk to the man next to me. Talk to the man across from me. But not me. He also publishes books. I would never write those books. God puts not just warm, but torrid characters into our lives. We go in our love for God as our lives become more sacrificial, which means as we surrender more and more to God what is precious to us. Hear it. Hope you hear it again. That's why God puts so many precious creatures into our lives. Don't finish the sentence. I have to. In order to take them away. Our next question. Why? Not only should we, why must we grow in the love of God? I have 6 reasons. We are to grow in the love of God because God wills it. We read either Deuteronomy or Matthew. We're told to love God with our whole soul, our whole heart, then ask yourselves, and I'm speaking to myself even as I'm speaking to you, how whole, how complete, how total is our love for God? Is there room for growth? Is there room for growth? That adjective, you shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, that adjective whole, is a divine command to grow in God's love. I honestly believe God keeps some people on earth longer than others. They need to live longer so they might, well, repent of their sins and grow in their love for God. Some people just take and need more time. In the life of our novice, Saint Stanislaus, a saint at the age of 18, here I am, 60 years older than Saint Stanislaus. And do I ever have a lot of work to do? Why grow in the love of God? Because God wants us. Secondly, why grow in the love of God? Because not to grow is to regress. It's not a pious phrase. That is the teaching of all the great masters of the spiritual life. Why grow in the love of God? Because, hear it, this is the first condition for gaining merit. Unless a person is in a state of grace, they cannot even merit. Did you know that? There must be at least that basic foundational love for God, which is the possession of God's grace. But then, in order to merit before God, merit grace in this life and happiness in the life to come, the more love we place into what we do, that action thereby, therefore, is correspondingly more meritorious. Why go in the love of God so we can merit more? Thirdly, why go in the love of God? Because love measures our growth in holiness. In the last analysis, what is sanctity? Sanctity is the possession of God's grace. Is a child just baptized? My record is baptizing a baby the day after it was born. Mother shouldn't have done it. Came out of the hospital, had the baby. She had just given birth to the day before. I was in Chicago, wanted me to baptize the baby, so I did. Is that baby, the moment is baptized, holy? Yes. Because that sanctifying grace, I wish we'd call it holifying grace. Talk about the paucity of the English language. Had a borrow from the Latin, sanctifying. As we grow in our love for God, the grace of God deepens, no matter what term you use, stronger, greater. I think I've quoted this statement from the Old Testament. Remember? God speaking, I love those who love me. As we go in the love of God, we go in the love of God from us to Him, and we go in God's love for us. Number five, why go in the love of God? We go in the love of God because our love for Him determines with a mathematical precision our love for others. The more we love God, the more is not psychology. This is not even theology. This is our faith. We love others only in the measure and degree in which we love God. I repeat, it is not mere pragmatism. There are, as every dictionary tells us, unlovable people. So what's an unlovable person? Well, look at the definition. Unlovable person, unlovable brethren are those people who naturally notice the word. We cannot love. And the word is cannot love. So what's all this talk about loving people? There is nowhere in Christian morality or in Catholic spirituality where divine grace is more penetratingly meaningful and more absolutely indispensable. If we're going to love unlovable people, and God will make sure, Dr. Future Tense, God does make sure that He puts naturally unlovable people into our lives. That's what loving others is all about. So that having the love of God, by the grace we possess, received from Him, we are able to love others, and the measure of our love for others is absolutely conditioned by our love for God. Where the love for God is not only the psychology of our loving Him, it is the metaphysics of possessing God's grace, which is another name for God's love in our souls. However, my most important message is how. How are we to grow in the love of God? I've got, again, six recommendations. Number one, make frequent acts of the love of God. I don't even hesitate recommending counting. How many acts of the love of God have I made today? Make more tomorrow. Associate the most ordinary actions. You open the door. You pick up the telephone. You leave the house. Make an act of the love of God. Secondly, strive to overcome your sins down to the most interior failings of the heart. One of my favorite definitions of sanctity is sinlessness. Given that premise, then I go in sanctity as I become more and more sinless, or less and less sinful. That is why my last chance on this occasion to say it: daily examine your consciences. Go to confession frequently. St. Ignatius, by my rule, tells us priests to go to confession at least once a week. In other words, more than once a week. The sacrament of confession sensitizes the conscience, enlightens the mind. We're all sinners. All of us, all of us. We need light to see where we fail, not only in doing wrong, but in not doing what we should be doing. How do you grow in the love of God? By striving to overcome your sins. But my friends, my dear friends, we better know what sinful failings we've got. I'm not sure you have any exercise like this. He called it the Exercitium Podestae in the novitiate. We novices called it St. Stephen's Ball. Every Thursday, two men would have the privilege, before the year was over, the whole novitiate was covered. When I was in the novitiate, there were 70 novices in one province. And, well, the privileged character kneels in the center of a large room, and the novices, with loving concern for that person's spiritual welfare, one after the other, tells everybody, especially, of course, the victim, what's wrong with him. And my Thursday came. I was knitting at the center of this room. It's lucky I was first. 1 hour is given for both novices. My fellow novices didn't finish, and the hour was up. Thank God. I still remember what they told me 51 years ago. How blind we can be to our own moral failings. That's number two. strive to overcome your sins, but know what sins you've got. Thirdly, try to choose, whenever the option arises, of what is more pleasing to God. And once you really want to do this, surprising, all kinds of options to choose what is more pleasing to God. And leave it to the Lord. Lord, I know this is more pleasing to you, but I have to be honest, it is less pleasing to me. Well, that's the law of love. Number four, cultivate the habit of preferring what requires more self-surrender. And that covers the whole gamut of our lives. Keeping silent when you're in conversation with a talkative person. Well, evidently enjoys talking. But I want to talk too. That's the whole point. Or, are you in conversation, or better, should be in conversation with a person who doesn't want to talk? So you talk, and you plan what you're going to say. My dear friends in Christ, cultivate the habit of planning your conversations. Oh, the genius of being able to master a conversation. Most conversations just drift in the process. All kinds of failings against almost every virtue can be committed. Number five, resting on how to grow in the love of God. Cultivate the habit of daily reflecting on God's goodness to you. That's what Ignatius tells us. The first condition for making the daily, for us, twice daily examination of conscience is reflect on the blessings, the graces that God has given to me. Gratitude. Somebody holds the door open as we pass behind the individual into a room. Thank you. Pass the butter at table. Thanks. Yet, how blasé we can be when it comes to thanking God. And you know why? Gratitude begins with thanks thinking. Thinking of what God has done for me. And not only in the distant past, but maybe right now. Thanks thinking. Then, thanks saying. Tell God thanks. Then thanksgiving. Give Him what you like because God has been so lovingly generous to you. And then the acme of gratitude. Thanks giving up. Cultivate the habit of daily reflecting on God's goodness to you. Gratitude is a soil of charity. The more we realize how much God has been giving to us, the more we shall want to give Him and keep giving him until we run out of breath and run out of life in this world. Finally, how to grow in the love of God. Cultivate the habit of uniting yourself in the actions you perform. So many actions we perform, I know because I so well know myself, after a while they become automatic. My just as well as a robot go through many of the actions that we go through in a given day. Cultivate the habit of making your actions deliberate, with at least a momentary act of the love of God, so that you're not only performing the action, qua action, but you are placing into what you do your whole heart. Lord Jesus, you came into the world to teach us only one lesson, and that is the lesson of loving you. It is a hard lesson, but we believe the more demands you make on our generosity, the harder we find doing your will. Dear Lord, thank you, because we grow in our love for you by following you, dear Jesus, in your bloody footsteps on the way to Calvary. Teach us, dear Savior, how the greatest joy on earth is to love you and to pay dearly because we dearly love you, our God. Amen. In the name of the Father.